Welcome to episode 507 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Joshua 3 verse 5. Then Joshua said to the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." The word consecrated simply means set apart. From the same root, we also get the word sacred, which we apply not only to people, but also to places and things that are set apart for a special religious purpose.
Today's top 10 list.
10 who were set apart in the Bible.
Number 1.
The children of Israel. Throughout the Old Testament, we see that God intended for the entire nation of Israel to be set apart, to be his chosen people, as we see in Exodus 19 verses 5 to 6. "Now therefore, if you will obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my own possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation."
Number 2.
Levites. From the beginning, God desired the Israelite nation to be a kingdom of priests, to be a holy nation, a people set apart as a light to the Gentiles. But the Israelites quickly lost their direct access to God's holiness. Their worship of a golden calf in Exodus 32 was one of many disqualifying incidents. As a result, God instituted the Levitical priesthood to mediate covenant holiness through sacrifice and example. All Israelites may have desired to be close to the holiness of God, represented in the temple by the Holy of Holies, yet only the priests, and specifically the high priests, were allowed to physically draw near to the Lord and petition the Lord to bestow his mercy and holiness on the people. The priests both performed and represented the holiness, the sacredness, or set-apartness that God desired for his people. They were consecrated for the purpose of drawing close to him and worshiping him in the most intimate way, and they were meant to be a true example to the rest of Israel of what God desired for each one of them.
Number 3.
Nazarites. God revealed to Moses that any Israelite, they did not have to be a priest, could make a Nazarite vow, outlined in Numbers chapter 6. The Nazarites had to follow a set of stipulations that would set them apart, including avoiding alcohol, allowing their hair to grow long, and offering special sacrifices for their consecration.
Number 4.
Samson. The most well-known example of the Nazarites in the Old Testament is probably the judge Samson, who is remembered for the great gift of strength that God bestowed upon him as a result of his faithfulness to his vow. This well-known story in Judges 13 to 16 also includes the consequences Samson suffered for breaking his Nazarite vow by drinking wine, touching an animal carcass, and allowing the Philistine prostitute Delilah to cut his hair.
Number 5.
Samuel. Samuel, whose name means heard of God, was dedicated to God by his mother, Hannah, as part of a vow she made before he was born. Hannah had been barren and prayed so fervently for a child that Eli the priest thought she was drunk. God granted Hannah's request, and true to her promise, Hannah dedicated Samuel to the Lord. After Samuel was weaned, likely around the age of 4, he was brought to the tabernacle to serve under Eli. Even as a child, Samuel was given his own tunic, a garment normally reserved for a priest as he ministered before the Lord in the tent of meeting at Shiloh, where the Ark of the Covenant was kept. Traditionally, the sons of the priest would succeed their father's ministry. However, Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were wicked in that they were immoral and showed contempt for the Lord's offering. Meanwhile, Samuel continued to grow in stature and in favor with the Lord and with men.
Number 6.
Ezekiel. Ezekiel, whose name means strengthened by God, grew up in Jerusalem, where he trained to be a priest in the temple. He was among the second group of captives taken to Babylon, along with King Jehoiachin, around 597 BC. While in Babylon, Ezekiel became a prophet of God. He is the author of the Old Testament book, that bears his name.
Number 7.
Malachi. Malachi's name means my messenger, an appropriate title for a prophet, one of God's messengers. Malachi wrote to the remnant of Israelites who had returned after 70 years in Babylonian captivity. He ministered during the time of Nehemiah and after the time of the prophets Haggai and Zechariah. The temple had been rebuilt, and the people of Israel were once again in the promised land, but they were falling into sin again. Malachi wrote, and we can assume spoke, in a bold, direct manner. He rebukes the sins of the priests and the people of Judah. The priests had been derelict in their official duties. The people had divorced their rightful wives. They had married foreign wives. They doubted God's justice, and they were neglecting to pay their tithes, bringing various plagues upon the land. Despite Israel's doubts to the contrary, Malachi assures them that the Lord God still loves them.
Number 8.
John the Baptist. John's birth was miraculous. He was born of elderly parents who had never been able to have children. The angel Gabriel announced to Zechariah, a Levitical priest, that he would have a son, news that Zechariah received with skepticism. Gabriel said this about John, "He will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." True to the word of the Lord, Zechariah's wife, Elizabeth, gave birth to John. At the circumcision ceremony, Zechariah said about his son, "You, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him." The life and ministry of John the Baptist exemplifies the self-emptying nature of a consecrated life. "He must increase and I must decrease," John said.
Number 9.
Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God, has always been consecrated. As a man, he faithfully carried out God's will and served him in absolute perfection with every thought, every word, and every deed. John 5 verse 30. "I can do nothing on my own initiative or authority. Just as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, fair, righteous, unbiased, because I do not seek my own will, but only the will of him who sent me." That ought to be our attitude in response to the will of our Father.
Number 10.
Paul. Romans 1 verse 1. "Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God." Paul was called to be what? To be an apostle. Paul was called to be a herald, a preacher, and an oracle of God. Paul was set apart for what purpose? For the gospel of God. Paul was set apart to preach salvation through the gospel of Christ. Romans 1 verses 5 to 7. "Through him and for his name's sake, we received grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." Notice that Paul was called so he could call others. God is the one who calls, and he's calling you and me to be set apart to live lives of holiness. We can be today what all Israelites were intended to be, members of a royal priesthood, a kingdom of priests. Father, thank you that we have been called to a special calling. Help us to respond and live worthy lives in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.